All right, Palm Sunday. Now let's tune into what happened. What was Palm Sunday all about? There was shouting. There was triumph. There was shouting Hosanna. But wait a minute, Pastor Kev. The shouting Hosanna was gone within a week. Within a week. The cheers turned to jeers. The cheering crowd turns to a wailing crowd crying out, "Crucify him!" Number one, some few points to make as we look at Palm Sunday. Number one, he confuses us. Confuses us. The people in that day, they were confused by Jesus. But why does he confuse us? Because he loves us while we were yet enemies. That's what the Bible says. He loved us while we were yet enemies. Now, can you be real with me? Sometimes it's hard to love those you love. Come on, be honest. Sometimes it's hard to love those you love. Now, I saw you guys before church. No, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Just kidding. But sometimes it's hard. But your enemy? Come on. Can anybody be really honest, ever had an enemy? And the rest of you just plain aren't honest, right? But, you know, somebody that just really gets you and irks you, and somebody you're thinking about him, I don't want to see that person. And God says, that's why I'm bringing him over right now. Okay. You know, it's like, I don't want to go to church. I know, I'm the pastor, I have to. I don't want to go to church. No, it's where the rubber hits the road. And Jesus loved these people when they were still enemies. I don't have all the scriptures up there, but listen to them. The reference is Romans 5, 6 through 10. For when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Anybody in this room qualify? When, before we got saved, church, we were ungodly. I don't care if you were a bank robber or just a snoot. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we'll be saved by his life. Come on, cheer with me. Are you glad to be saved? Hallelujah. Glad I'm no longer an enemy of God. Enemies is the Greek word ekthros. Ekthros. Hateful, odious, hostile, an adversary. You've met people like that. Don't want anything to do with God. And even if you didn't think you were hostile, because fine, live and let live, just don't want him, that's odious to God. That's a hateful attitude because he sent a loving son to die on a cross because he loves. And we're saying, I don't want anything to do with it. It's not casual to God. Romans 5, 19 and 20 out of the New King James. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, Jesus, many will be made righteous. Where sin abounded, grace abounded much more. Now listen to it out of the message. One man said no to God and put many people in the wrong. Who was that one man?
Adam.
One man said yes to God and put many in the right, and his name is? Sin didn't, verse 20, and doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. I love that, don't you? Sin doesn't have a chance in competition with the aggressive forgiveness we call grace. When it's sin versus grace, say it with me, boom it out, church. Grace wins hands down. But it's confusing. Doesn't make sense. We're cheering for this Jesus who confuses us. Number two, we cheer him on. We'd cheer them on. Remember, in that day, after all, Jesus fed the multitudes, broke the fish, and everybody had a party sitting down in groups of 50, and all the families were fed, and it was kind of cool because the disciples got put in their place. They come to Jesus and say, "We ain't got no bread." Jesus says, "You feed them." What? He says, "You feed them." And everybody's kind of, can you imagine people looking on going, "Yeah, what are you going to do now, guys?" Jesus says, "You feed them." So they get fed. "But don't you want to follow this, Jesus? I don't have to work anymore. Score! We got free lunch at church." We cheer them on. Mark 11, 7 through 10. "Then they brought the colt to Jesus, and they threw their clothes on it, and he sat on it, and many spread their clothes on the road. And others cut down leafy branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Then those who went before and those who followed cried out, saying, 'Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the kingdom of our father David that comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.'" And if you look into the Greek and understand that, that is most likely a time of antiphonal singing, where one sings a line and followed by another. You have a group going on ahead of them and a group following behind. They're singing, "Hosanna in the highest," and the group in the behind, "Hosanna in the highest." What a party! They're confused, but they do know how to party. We cheer for the one who feeds us, heals us, forgives us, takes care of us. Surely, surely, he must be the Messiah. He confuses me, but I'll cheer for him. The crowds are on this stretch of road a mile outside of Jerusalem going to the city for the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover. And it's fulfilling right in front of their eyes. The Old Testament prophet Zechariah 9 verse 9 says, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. He is just, having salvation, lowly," and as Pastor Sherry opened with, "riding on a" what? "A donkey. A colt, the foal of a donkey." Now, history showed them, taught them. They're conquered by the Romans. They've been conquered by all sorts of people. But when a conquering general comes into the community, he comes in riding a horse. And he's parading those he's conquered in front of him. And people are cheering for this fantastic hero. But Jesus comes riding a donkey. He rides through the east gate, by the way. This is the holy gate. This is the gate Solomon would have ridden through in the temple. This is bold. And Jesus doesn't shut them up when they're crying out, "Hosanna." Basically, crying out the word "Hosanna" means, "Oh God, save us now." Who do you think they were crying out for saving from? The Romans. Passover celebrates God's deliverance from Egypt. The people see the Messiah, and they think he's going to set them free and set up David's kingdom again. Jesus, instead, wants to set them free from sin and from Satan. Number three, we wave palms before the Messiah. We wave our palms to him. And that is all about what happened in history. When the Maccabean revolt occurred, and there was oil, and Hanukkah occurred, and there was oil in the lamp that existed, and they came in, and they waved their palm branches, and Rome knows the history, and Egypt, or everybody else there, and the Israelis know the history. All of a sudden, they're going crazy with palm branches, shouting, "Hosanna, save us now." And don't you think the Romans knew exactly what they were saying? Because in their history, the waving of palm branches meant, "We are victorious over our captors." They're looking on going, "Ho, ho, 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 ho. What's going to happen now?" The Romans know that thousands of Jews are waving, "We're going to defeat you, Romans." The Pharisees are looking on, wanting to shut up the crowd. Because the Pharisees know they're going to lose their place of power. Today, by the way, we defeat the devil and any power that his demon spirits may have when we lift up our palms and begin to praise Jesus. Come on, lift up your palms this morning. We praise the Lord and we raise our hands and wave our hands before the Lord and we drive the devil out of this place. Amen? If you're at home and you're under subjection to demonic attack and you're under oppression, lift up your hands and begin to praise God. And I just praise you, Lord. You're worthy. You're victorious. You're in charge of the conquering King. Hallelujah. We believe you, Lord. And we believe your word. We send the devil running and fleeing in the name of Jesus. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. There's power in your palms. Come on, give each other a high five. Say, you got nice palms. The Bible says in 1 Timothy 2 verse 8, pray lifting up holy hands. Psalm 141 verse 2. I'll get that right for you. Psalm 141 verse 2. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Now listen to Revelation 9 verses 12. Revelation 7. 9 verses 12. I'm trying to go a little too quickly here, but Revelation 7, 9 through 12. I looked. Behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, people, and tongues, standing before the throne, before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and it starts up there, with palm branches in their hands. And crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne, to the Lamb, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power. Can you just imagine? They're just caught up in this. Blessing, honor, glory, might, man, you're a big enchilada. Hallelujah. Can you imagine? They're just so excited. You're everything there is. You're the steak and lobster of my life. Thanksgiving, honor, power, might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. But first comes the cross. But first, cheers turn to jeers. The celebration ceases. In fact, the message is called the celebration crisis. The celebration ceases at the end of the week. They're now calling out, crucify him. Passover lamb. He came and loved and healed and delivered and fed and cared and demonstrated God and gave hope to poor people and opened blind eyes, opened deaf ears and spoke into life and confronted the religious snoots and proud people and helped those who were needy and weak and put down and trodden. And he cast the wicked, evil people out of the temple that tried to turn God's house into a house of merchandise. And he said, my Father's house is a house of prayer. And the Bible tells us about Jesus, the zeal of thine house has eaten him up. Because he wants God and his people to be together. But first comes a cross. John the Baptist looks at him and says, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Jesus goes before Pilate, examines him. He has six illegal trials, six of them. You take time to count them all. And he declares about him, I find no fault in him. Your history, your Passover lamb had to be spotless, the best of the flock, no fault, in order to be the sacrifice to cover over their sins. And Jesus comes in fulfillment in the New Testament, and Pilate declares, I find no fault in him. One who could take our sins. I can't die for my own sins. All that is a death, but no resurrection. But Jesus has no fault. Animal sacrifices in the Old Testament cover sin and allow substitution, but never change a human heart. God wants relationship with you and with me. The Bible says sin separates us from God, and God doesn't want that separation. The Bible says sin brings death and shame. The wages of sin is death, condemnation, guilt. You read in the Bible where even Paul cries out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this?" And the very next verse says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ, my Lord." Who can forgive me? Who can heal me? Who can restore me? Who can give me hope? 1 Corinthians 5 verse 7 says, "For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us." He's the Lamb of God, the Passover, the Paschal Lamb. And he scourged, which literally means he was beaten beyond recognition. Jesus, it's not like in the movies, the Passover, you know, Mel Gibson's movie, The Passion of the Christ, maybe came closer than any other that's been on film. But the Bible declares he was completely made unrecognizable as a man. He was whipped. Scourging is to be whipped by thongs of bone and lead at the end, so it literally would rip and shred his back apart and the skin from him. And a crown of 3-inch thorns is slammed and crammed into his head with profuse pain to the Messiah. He's slapped and he's hit. And he's spit upon and he's mocked and he's tossed from leader to leader and mocked. So when he's finally crucified, I can't tell who is this man? Isaiah 52 verse 14 says there were many who were literally appalled at him. His appearance was so disfigured beyond that of any man, and his form marred beyond human likeness. Then they make him carry his cross, and he carries it as far as he can, and he's thrown down, laid upon a wooden beam, and spikes driven most likely into his wrist, not into his palms, and into his feet. And crucifixion is such a horrific death. It was saved as a form of punishment for only the worst of the worst. You try to put your weight on your feet and you can't support it for the pain, so you pull up on the wrists and the arms, and you can't do that, and you shift back and forth, and finally one suffocates from crucifixion because you can't get your air. Luke 23, 32 to 35 tells us, "There were also two others, criminals, led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary," thank God for Calvary, "there they crucified him." Wait a minute, we were just waving palms. We were just cheering. It confused me. I don't know why we were cheering, but we thought he was the main man. He's going to deliver us from Rome after all. And he looks with his eyes of love and says, "I want to deliver you first and foremost from the sin that you're given to. And I want to restore you back to my Father. And if you don't let me do this, you'll never get there." He comes to the place called Calvary, and there they crucified him, and the criminals, one on the right hand, the other on the left. And then Jesus says the very words that free us to be here today. Say it with me, please. "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." They divided his garments, cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with him sneered, saying, "He saved others. Let him save himself, if he's the Christ, the chosen of God." Jesus cries out, "It is finished," and dies. A spear is thrust into his side and out gushes blood and water. The sac around the heart that is water is burst. Jesus literally also can be said that he died of a broken heart for you and for me. Joseph a counselor, a good man, a member of the Sanhedrin, begs for the body of Jesus. They give it to him, and he wraps him in a cloth. He lays them in a sepulcher hewn from stone in a rich man's grave. And they remember that he said in 3 days he would be raised up, and so they seal the tomb. And they set guards to watch. Because after all, we don't want his disciples to steal him away. Within 1 week, cheered, palm branches, cloaks thrown down in front of his donkey. You're it! Within that week, it became a different sound. You're it! Go to the cross. Crucify him. He prays in a garden and says, Father, take this cup from me. But nevertheless, it's not what I want, Lord. Your will be done. And he looked through the corridor of time and he saw you and me. And he said, I'll do it, Lord. I'll do it because I love them this much. And died. Why? Why? Because your sin and mine put him there. No matter how nice you think you are, it was your sin and mine. You don't have to live in shame because of that. That's why he died. You bow the knee and you bow the heart with reality and say, oh, Jesus, I see what you've done for me that I did not deserve and I could not do. I understand you're the Savior and I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart. Save me. Be my Lord and Savior. Take over my life. Oh, Lord, I want to live for you and I can't do it if I don't surrender to you. It's not my good works that'll get me there. It's not the wickedness that I've done. I don't care if it's robbing, stealing, adultery, fornication, homosexuality. I don't care if it's having an abortion. I don't care if it's just pride problems. Jesus died for every one of those sins. The Lamb of God who took away the sins of the whole world took yours and mine upon himself. Why? Why? Just what our sister said. For God, say it with me, church, so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Now, he's in a tomb. But good news is coming. Because he doesn't stay there. Because God says, it's enough. Jesus said, it's finished. And God says, you betcha. It's finished. Friday night, 7:00, right here, you come. You bring your whole family and we'll celebrate these events of Good Friday. And come Sunday morning, you bring your friends, your family, your neighbors. Call all of your community. We'll put up more chairs. We'll take it to the outside if we need to. Because we're here to tell you the good news is what Jesus did. Dead, buried, resurrected.
Hallelujah.
4 blood moons. Are you ready?
Yes.
How do you get ready? Come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He loves you so much. Are you glad? Say it with me. Lord Jesus, I thank you for your grace and your mercy to me. I thank you that Easter is preceded by a death and burial. But thank you, Lord, that there's resurrection. We give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're here this morning and you've never surrendered your life to Jesus, I urge you, let this be the day you do so. If you've never prayed that specific prayer, the Master loves you so much. The Lamb of God died for you and me, and He wants to welcome you as His son and daughter. If you've prayed that prayer, but you need the reminder, God's given you big reminders this morning of how much He loves you. Aren't you glad for Jesus?
Amen.
Musicians, will you come? And let's close again with the chorus of the love of God as we complete. I pray that you have a fantastic day in the Lord. Let's all stand together. Have a fantastic day in the Lord, knowing how much this Lord loves you. Oh, Jesus, we're here with thanksgiving this morning. We love you so much for loving us that much. We give you praise and worship in the name of Jesus. And they all said,
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace in the name of Jesus. And they all said again,
Amen.
Amen. So be it. Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord. See you Friday night.